This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's get to some of the stuff that happened to the Phillies this week. We'll get to Price in a second, but speaking of Girardi real quick, we haven't talked since the press conference.
Yeah.
I want to say like the best introductory press conference I can remember, but it's really the best since Bryce Harper, but those two are the best I can remember in a long time.
Yeah, well, for such a bad press conference 2 weeks prior.
Well, it's unbelievable. It's like the worst press conference we've seen to one of the better ones. And also, of course, coming in off of the way Gabe speaks to the media and that whole thing, Girardi was just perfect. He was so refreshing.
Yeah, he knocked it out of the park.
He just
seemed like such a good, genuine dude.
Genuine's a good word for it. That was the word I used.
There was a good amount of, say this.
Well, fluff in there. Yeah, well, oh, for sure. The bullpen ERA.
And they definitely
gave him some bullet points. Hey, Joe, could you kind of hit these for us? And he definitely went a little overboard with the Phillies, winning franchise.
Real winning tradition.
You mentioned, the winning teams of the 90s. There was one, Joe.
Only one.
One team in the 90s that won. Only one.
Yeah.
But I appreciated the effort there.
Yeah. But if Gabe did it, everyone's having a meltdown. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But the way that he delivered it was good. Everything he felt genuine, and I just think that for the common baseball fan in this town, to them, they feel like they got a manager, a baseball guy, a guy they can believe in. And I don't think you're gonna see the fans give up on a team as quickly as you saw under Gabe.
I agree with you. I agree.
People just gave up on those teams because no one believed in Gabe Kaplan.
Yeah.
As fans. And no one showed up. I mean, if this team's in first place next year, people are going to show up.
Yeah. And look, again, it's a great point. And he seemed real with us. That was something I said to you a lot with Gabe, where it was just be real. Just treat us like we're actual human beings that you're talking to and not, some automaton or something. Girardi felt genuine. He was impressive. He felt like a manager, like a leader, someone who's, can command a room, command a clubhouse. And like we've said before, I mean, he walks in with some serious cachet. That clubhouse has to look at him and say, all right, that dude won a World Series as a manager. He won 3 World Series as a player. He played in the bigs for 14 years. He's managed 2 teams. That dude has a resume. That dude has at least something that when he speaks, I should listen. And not every player's like that, whatever. But I think for the leaders of the locker room, the Harpers, the Romutos, I think Girardi's a perfect hire.
I think so, too. I think there's this common narrative or common thought place between a lot of Phillies fans or a good amount of Phillies fans that, a manager, whatever, doesn't mean that much. And I just think we're going to learn a lot this season that managers are still important. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go down to Miami and lose like they did this year, the 19-11 game. I just don't think that'll happen. I think he's going to have these guys ready to play. I think they want to play for him. I think they're going to play hard.
There'll be accountability.
There's going to be accountability. I just think that I think we're going to be surprised at how much a manager is going to affect this team. I don't think Gabe held back the Phillies, but I just think that the heightened level of awareness almost is going to get more out of these guys.
I 100% agree. It's not that Girardi's going to be that much of a better in-game manager than Gabe.
No, he uses the numbers. He's the same thing.
He does, and yes, he'll use his gut, and I think that it's important to have pushback on a front office that we don't trust the analytics and how they employ them.
Oh, my God. Have we done a podcast since no one talked about it? But they gave Gabe Kapler bad numbers.
I know!
And then they were fire him. Get him out of here. And Gabe was set up to fail. I like Gabe. I'm glad Joe Girardi's here, but the BS of, we're going to give this guy bad information, they made him use it.
Well, that's the problem, is they controlled him. He was not, he didn't get to make his own decisions.
They controlled him, and then they gave him bad information.
Well, that's Farhan
Zahidi's not going to do that.
No, but the point is with Girardi, that's I wanted someone here who could push back and say, why are you guys doing this way? This is stupid, or these numbers don't add up, or whatever. Or, hey, if you teach this way, people will understand it better, or whatever. Someone who will push back and not just say, because Matt Klentak tells him, this is what you do. No. I'm Joe Girardi. I got a little clout here, too. I was hired by John Middleton. We all know that. So I think that's important to have there. So I'm with you. But back to the forgot what I was saying prior to the
back to the
numbers part there.
Brian Price podcast?
Right, yeah, the guy we haven't talked about. We'll get there.
The Joe Girardi press conference.
We'll get there. Yeah. Oh, I forget. Okay. Anyway. It's a.
I talked to Joe Girardi.
And you had him on the afternoon show.
Yeah, he came on the afternoon show. I talked to him and I said, "We'll be back in 30 seconds." That's my interaction with Joe Girardi.
I told him to say, "Hey, you should have said high hopes, Potter. You should have said, hey, you need a pitching coach. You had your chance."
I did. I blew it with Joe Girardi. Next time I will be better.
So anyway, back to now that I remember what I was going to say about Girardi. It was a nice little filler. Thank you. The idea just that, like you said, the clubhouse leadership, I think it's not that he's necessarily going to be that much better as an in-game manager as Kapler, but it's the other stuff. It's the managing the personalities. It's the setting accountability. It's the getting everyone ready to play every day. All that type of stuff I think is going to be so much better with Girardi than it was with Kapler, because for all of his, you know, again, good in-game manager, but the guys just didn't listen to him the way he needed them to.
Yeah, and I think it's going to help a lot from the standpoint of Bryce and Real Muto both were leaders last year for mm-hmm. really the first time.
Absolutely. And certainly for the first time, at least Real Muto on a good team.
Yeah, right. So now Girardi...
I shouldn't say good team. On a potentially good team. They were an okay
right.
team.
An average
yes,
team. He's going,
yes.
Well, he's going from
horrible
bad
is
to
the point. Yeah, a better team, let's say.
But I think that those guys needed help, and I just... It's so hard to build a culture when guys are brought in from the outside, because the players there are going to be like, "Who are you? You've been here for a minute." Like that's what makes baseball different is and why you rarely see teams that are building an offseason figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Yankees to an extent, but also when they brought in Burnett, Sabathia, Teixeira, I mean,
they always had the
Jeter
core
was
guys
already
there. Yeah,
like they had that there. What the Phillies tried to do this offseason was let's bring in Real Muto, let's bring in Bryce Harper.
I mean, they had a core group of guys who were always there: Rivera, Pettit, right. You know, Jeter, Posada. Like those guys were the core. Bernie Williams for a while before that too. Obviously, like those were the guys who kind of kept it together. And then obviously Paul O'Neill and Tino Martino. They had a lot of guys who stayed for a long time, but. I'm very with you. That makes a difference. You need to have a leadership. Like, again, you can't have guys just come in and be the leaders and expect everyone to just fall in line.
Right, and Hoskins is 26. Aaron Nola is very quiet.
And the other guy before getting hurt who was one of those type of guys as well and also coming in that offseason.
Yep.
I mean, that's hard to do.
It's really hard to do.
All right, Brian Price.
Man, I'm excited. I know. I'm really, really excited. So, like,
for those who don't know, Jack was not excited about the potential of Larry Rothschild. So, and that looked like there was a.
I texted James. I said, James, we might need to do an emergency podcast because they listen, and we cannot let them hire Larry Rothschild.
And I mean, to the point where he got asked about Larry Rothschild in his opening press conference, like people really thought this was going to happen.
And I thought his answer was like, after reading his answer, I was like, well.
It made me feel better,
Really? I thought it was the opposite for
me. Oh, I see. I thought it was just a fluff, like, yeah, Larry's great. You know, I've really worked well with him and all that, but we'll see what happens.
No, I thought a sign still delivered.
Wow.
So upset.
Thank God it wasn't. So talk on Price.
So, well, first, let me just explain why I don't like Larry
sure,
Rothschild.
Yeah.
So Larry Rothschild has been there forever, and he is a pure, like, slider guy, and he is very rigid in his beliefs. So, like, Sonny Gray goes there as a awesome curveball guy, can't get the most out of him because he wants him to throw a slider and not throw his best pitch. James Paxton this year, terrible in the first half. Talks to Carlos Beltran. Beltran's like, you should throw your knuckle curve more. Figures it out, goes out and is dominant. Luis Severino comes up in 2017, looks like the next Pedro Martinez. Mm-hmm. Hasn't even come close to being
partially back. With injuries, but agree.
He was pitch tipping. The Red Sox knew mm-hmm. it. Larry Rothschild didn't know it. Chad Green, also pitch tipping, goes down to AAA. They figure out what happened there. He goes back up. Larry's not even close. Larry's not even
Larry's
sniffing.
Just has no idea.
Sniffing the issue. So I just think he's a dinosaur on the way out, and I'm very, very glad he's not here. Now, Brian Price. So when I first heard the name and I saw it coming out, I was like, I didn't want this to be a super old school coaching staff. I want a little bit of innovation.
Of course.
I would like to see them think outside the box. Like the Yankees are going with a driveline pitching guy as their pitching coordinator. He's going to make the hire, but still, like, that's a really smart guy making a decision for
Absolutely.
The Yankees. So
sure.
That's the Yankees. So I just didn't want to get caught up in the Stone Age of baseball. I was nervous about that. And I initially was worried about that with Brian Price, but where I got to with Brian is.
I like that your first name now.
of course. I like that he has managerial experience.
Me too.
I like that he's fiery.
I like that a lot, by
the way. 77 F-bombs
in 6 minutes.
That's impressive. That's a lot of F-bombs.
I love that intensity. I feel like this team needs some intensity sometimes.
Well, I think the young pitchers need a kick in the ass.
Oh, yeah. Any you could think of in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted out today. We're back.
Are we back?
Yeah.
Hey,
Breakout Pavetta's back on, baby.
Buddy.
They better not get rid of him. Anyway, so he was the pitching coach for the Mariners teams back from 2001 to 2006. They got bad towards the end, but his first couple of years, like, he was getting a lot out of Joel Pinheiro and Jimmy Moyer. And then he
owned some shares of Joel and Pinheiro in fantasy over the years.
Yeah, and then he went to the Diamondbacks, and like that's where he got Dan Herron, turned him into what he was. Brandon Webb obviously went on that nice little run out there.
Brandon Webb helped me win a fantasy title with that Cy Young year. Yeah,
his last year, Scherzer came up. Obviously he goes to Cincinnati, and in his like the last 2 years there, because I wanted to see what his, you know, when the game is kind of starting to trend towards analytics, I want to see what he was doing. And in his last 2 years there, I mean, they were like fourth in the NL in ERA. They had the most strikeouts in the league, the third least amount of walks in the league. So, like, he's focusing on good things, strikeouts, limiting walks. And just from what I've heard, he's a really good mechanical guy. And this team needs a mechanical guy. They need a guy that can teach mechanics because, like, we'll get into Robert Stock later. But, like, his name Robert Stock? I forget.
Yeah, Robert Stock.
Okay. I don't know why completely blanked on my new.
You've been talking about his emergency bot all day. I call him Bob Stock.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Big shot, Bob Stock. Yeah. Chris Young, I think, is a really smart guy, and I want to see him kept around in the organization. Not a good mechanics guy. So I just think Price is going to get a lot out of that. And just the fact that the Padres wanted him, he said no. The Diamondbacks wanted him, he said no. And he was in the run for the Red Sox job, even with Haim being there. I think that says something.
Those are smart teams, well-run teams.
And I think it's interesting that, like, guys want to come coach with Joe Girardi. And that's what you get when you get a Joe Girardi. You get a guy that people want to come coach with. You want to build a staff with. And they are really building a good staff. Like, they're building a good staff. You have Brian Price, Rob Thompson already there.
Not pitching staff.
No. They're getting there.
We'll get there.
Rob Thompson with Joe Girardi.
Perfect, Matt. I mean, like, I love having guys have a mind meld there. Like, that's an important thing to have your bench coach and your manager be on the same page.
Yes.
And know what, like, that he can check Girardi, know that he can kind of push back at times and all that. Like, he knows him well enough that has to be that type of relationship. So I think it's huge.
Yeah, and you look at the Braves staff. I mean, the Braves have Snitker, but they also have Ron Washington. Mm-hmm. They have a bunch of guys who have done it.
Yeah.
Who have been there. So,
well, I love that with Price. That, as I said, I think hiring a guy who's managed before that, I just think that matters. Having that experience, understanding what the manager is going through on a day-to-day basis and how you tailor what you do to help with that.
And communicating.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Like, the pitching stuff. Like,
totally.
If he's in the manager's chair, he knew how frustrating it was when his pitching coach and him were not on the same page.
Totally.
So I think it's big. And then Bobby Dickerson, obviously. So it's a really experienced, interesting staff. I think Dante Bichette's going to be the hitting coach.
Ooh, breaking news there?
Not breaking news, but I think he's going to be the hitting
coach. Little birdie type of thing?
If he wants to be it. So,
ooh, I like that name. I mean, I don't know if hitting
brings,
coach...
If he brings the steroids with him.
I don't know if hitting coach matters.
Doesn't matter as much as...
But, I mean, I'll take a guy who hit well in the majors, sure.
Yeah, I mean, the most recent team he was the hitting coach for was the Rockies in 2013, and that team raked. But they also played in Colorado, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah,
but, like, they had I looked through the lineup today. They had, like, seven guys batting in the 290s or higher.
That's pretty good.
Which is interesting. I obviously have no idea about Dante Bichette, but I think he's going to be the hitting coach.
Okay. I like that. Why not? And it does look like they're putting together a great staff. And to your points on Price, I think it's really good that smart teams wanted him. I think that matters. And the fact that he chose the Phillies, I do agree, is I think that's a clear indication. I mean, look, maybe the Phillies offered him more money. That's certainly possible. And, hey, it would be really smart. Why not? You know, try and get him in any way you can. But I think the biggest, if I had to guess or infer what it is, it's that he wanted to come work with Joe Girardi. That Joe Girardi asked, and he said, "Yeah, I'm going to go work with that guy." I mean, Lovello, you're a great dude. You know, Jace Tingler, I never heard of you, but you seem like a good guy. I'm going to go work with Joe Girardi. Yeah. I think that mattered.
Well, Joe Girardi has cachet.
Yeah,
and I like that my manager has cachet.
Me too. I love it. It's really cool. Yeah. Like, it's a cool feeling that Joe Girardi is our guy.
Yeah, we got the guy part two.
We got the new Joe G of Philadelphia
yes,
sports.
Yes, the only Joe G.
The only Joe G.
Now it's just Joe Ilio.
That's good.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we're both very, very bullish on the price higher, and I'm excited. I think that also just having someone who has, after Chris Young, who, again, not a good mechanics guy, but also someone who clearly just wasn't great at relating to and explaining things to pitchers. Like, he just clearly, that you heard enough things where he had a breakdown from trying to take what he knew and relay it to the pitcher in a way that worked, way that digestible, all that type of stuff. And Brian Price clearly has a long history doing that.
Yeah, and this staff really liked working under Rick Kranitz the year before, and I think they just wanted another old schoolish guy that could, you know, kind of get through these guys. And they hurl
some F-bombs their way when they're not doing things.
Oh, a bunch of F-bombs. What are these guys going to think when they walk to spring training this year? They're going to walk in and be like, last time I was told I didn't need an alarm clock.
Where's the Fortnite setup? We usually have like a station like in each room. What's happening here?
We got to do PFPs today?
Are you saying we're like actually playing baseball?
We have to do base running drills? What are we, 12? Listen.
Yes!
Give me all the fundamentals.
Oh, I'm so ready. I'm so ready. I want people running laps when they make an error. Yeah. I want all of it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. It feels like we have baseball back. And I'm excited to see what it's going to be like.
Jack and it feels like we got some baseball guys.
Yeah. I like baseball guys.
Me too. Well, especially because I don't think we can say the same about the front office, but at least we've got baseball guys on the field level now.
Yeah, which is fine. If you want to use obviously the analytics and whatnot, I think they should be used in game managing.
Mm-hmm.
You use them to evaluate players, bring in some good players and whatnot. And
yes.
Let them go from there.
Sign Gerrit Cole.
Sign Gerrit Cole. I don't get the Zach Wheeler thing. Like, people are way too gung-ho on like what Zach Wheeler is. Zach Wheeler is a perpetual disappointment.
Yeah. He had that one good year.
Yeah, he's talking for like 4-100 for him. And I was like, well, just don't sign Gerrit Cole. Just sign Wheeler and, like, Cole Hamels. It's like, that's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
No.
It's not the same thing. I think it's crazy. I'm cool if you want to bring back Cole Hamels.
I actually want Cole back. I think that's a perfect kind of second-tier signing for them. Like, great.
Yeah, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
If you want to bring back Cole Hamels, it's like a whatever. But, like,
yeah, he's your fourth starter.
Can we just relax at the whole, just bring in Wheeler and whatever?
I didn't know that was a thing, but yes, we can.
The only pitchers really worth investing this offseason are Strasburg.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I just don't know what we're going to get from Zach Wheeler. And to give him 400 or 490 or whatever.
I'd rather give that money to Bumgarner. And I don't think Bumgarner is like great shakes for whatever, but I could believe that Bumgarner could figure out how to adjust and become a really good pitcher into his mid-30s before I'm going to bet a bunch of money on Wheeler putting it all together.
I'd rather just sign neither.
Right. I agree with you. I'm just saying an either or. I'm with you. Sign Gerrit Cole. Sign Gerrit Cole.
Or Strasburg.
Either or. Gravy.
Yeah.
I'm good. All right. Robert Sock.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm excited.
First of all, tell people who he is.
Okay, so Robert
Sock. There's a fair amount of listeners who don't know.
Was claimed off waivers today by the Phillies.
Like, I love that you make it seem like Bob Stock is this big, big deal. So I just want to make sure people knew who he was.
Hey, James, guess what?
What?
I'm buying stock.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
You're not a dad. I'm a dad. Those are my type of jokes. Right there.
I don't know. I only do dad jokes. But... So he's claimed off waivers, and their 40-man roster is pretty stacked. So like, it seemed like a numbers crunch, and getting him is interesting. So 2 years ago, he's unbelievable. He had like a 2.80 ERA and struck out a ton of guys. And I think this year in AAA, he struck out 48 in 26 innings, which is just like, oh, I mean, crazy numbers. But the problem is this year the walk skyrocketed. So he's only striking out like 8.9 per nine, and then he was walking 6.8 per nine, which is terrifying.
Great.
Terrifying.
That's
but
a lot of walks.
But here's the Robert Sock case: is that amazing 2 years ago, throws 98 to 100.
Thank God.
Didn't know that was allowed.
No. Are you sure Matt Glendak allowed him to be signed?
A hammer slider. He was hurt last year, and I think his mechanics suffered for him. So he watched Robert Stock from 2 years ago, which I did today, and then you watch him from last year. It's like a different pitcher. Like, it's like he doesn't have the same ferocity.
Sure, yeah, ferocity.
In his mechanics.
Good job by you there.
Also, like, his shoulders evened out from 2018 to 2019, so he didn't have the same kind of leverage. He needs to get back to creating leverage with his upper half. And I think I think a guy like Brian Price will be able to figure that out. And I think they, I legit think they got a diamond in the rough.
Wow.
I think that.
And so what's his ceiling with this team?
I don't know, like a seventh, eighth inning guy?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Like, yeah. He could be a seventh, eighth inning guy for you?
Listen, when you're a, when you're throwing
100. Can he be a multiple inning guy?
I don't think so. He's pretty much been a
one inning reliever.
Yeah, for most of his career. But
if you're throwing 9,800, you could be a closer too. That's right. Why.
Well,
I asked.
Let's not. We're not there yet.
Ceiling.
But yeah, so in 32 games last in 2018, he pitched to a 2.5 ERA, and he only struck out 8.6 per nine, but walked under three. Last year, struck out 12.5 per nine, but walked 6.8. So, like, to me, in watching his film, he is a reclamation project that has a ton of stuff. It was really good 2 years ago. That an experienced pitching coach like Brian Price should be able to get the most out of.
Look, I bullpen pitching can be so
fickle.
Weird. Yeah,
it's fickle year to year.
For year to year. So I love that idea. Go find someone who throws hard, who has shown they can do it, and try and fix them. I think that's an awesome, awesome under the radar move. Obviously, I don't think they're.
Awesome. It's an interesting.
I like that those are the types of moves they're looking to make. That's smart baseball. But again, obviously, he could also not work, and that was that. But I like that those they're attempting to make those types of moves. Obviously, they're not curing the problem. But speaking of the bullpen, real quick, can we say a quick never want to see you again, Pat Neshek? Never again. I'm so happy. I've never been more happy to see a team decline an option. Like, peace, bro. Don't want anything to do with you ever again. Go do your weird baseball card stuff somewhere else. Don't need you. Thanks for nothing. Nothing.
I would have picked up the option just so I could have seen Girardi's facial expression when Neshek said, "Yeah, I can't go today." I think Brian Price would go on another.
I know, F-bomb rant.
Yeah, like, Pat, are you kidding me? Like, seriously, you just pitched 3 days ago. You can't come out and suck it up for an inning.
Oh, God,
such a baby.
I'm so happy to see him gone. I legit happy not to root for that guy anymore.
Next is Arrieta.
Yeah, thank God.
We're so close.
Well, we will throw a party. We're going to have a high hopes party somewhere. Some bar. You can come if you want. You don't have to. We're going to go have beers when Jake Arrieta is no longer Philly. It's going to be awesome.
Everyone in the city is going to have more money. Think about that.
It's true.
Think about that. Everyone's a little richer when Jake Arrieta is.
A beautiful thing, my friend.
Oh, that $20 million we're just pissing down the drain.
Wasted away.
You set it on fire.
Is that one of the, like, that's definitely one of the worst contracts in recent, and I mean, Nomdy,
I mean, we're
is
coming straight off the Howard contract.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Howard contract, but at least with Howard,
he was Ryan Howard.
Yeah, for and here, like, we didn't get any of the good Jake Arrieta. We just got the crap Arrieta.
Yeah, we got sinker baller.
We got dog crap Arrieta.
Yeah, we got Derek.
God,
Lowe
I hate
at the
that
end
guy. He had one start, and I know he was good in that Boston start, but only the start again at home against Pittsburgh. Was the only time in the entire time he was with the Phillies that I watched him and I was like, oh, that's Jake Arrieta. Like, that's old school Arrieta. One time, Jack! He was really good in that Boston start, too. I don't want to, like...
The Diamondback start later in that year where
in
Gabe
terms of where
the
ball was just dancing and moving.
Well, yeah, well, he had bone spurs,
what
that's
why. What a horrendous signing.
Not horrible.
What has Matt Klentak done?
Even at the time where...
High and blue. Just... Kill us now.
We're going to look back in a year and be like, oh, crap.
Yeah, because Klentak will be gone in a year, and we're going to be like, oh, if we had done this a year ago, we could have got him.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Yeah, well, thank God for Joe Girardi. Oh, my goodness. I would be like, and I know we talked ourselves into Dusty or Buck, like, screw that. Like, I would have been, when it got close to Girardi, if it had somehow fallen through, like, I legit would have been devastated that it wasn't Girardi. Like, thank God we got Girardi.
Yeah.
He has saved everything. I know it's so ridiculous, but my whole positivity around the Phillies is because they got Joe Girardi.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.